Love talking about this.
Well, hi everybody, and welcome to another episode of Tea with Louise. And today I have with me a longtime friend, mentor, teacher, Michelle Grace Lessard. I just absolutely love Michelle, and I've done a lot of work with Michelle, and I've known her for a long time. But her official bio, I'm going to read, and then we're just going to have a conversation about what Michelle does and where her work is going. So after a near-death experience at the age of three that awakened her gifts, talents, and capacities as a shaman, Reverend Michelle Grace Lessard is a way maker, a seer of patterns, helping you transcend problems and unlock the brilliance that you truly be. Carrying a drum, walking with spirit, she helps you clear your path of the soul loss that you've endured so you can access new levels of creativity and joy. Michelle is an artist, an interior designer, a shamanic teacher, and astrologer who combines the visible elements with the invisible or spiritual aspects of the home and self. She teaches women how to use the shamanic path of direct experience to affect positive change in their lives. You can find her online at michellegrace.com. So those of you that followed me for a long time clearly can see some similarities between Michelle and I. I came to the shamanic practices later than Michelle did, but Michelle, I will say, is one of the most creative people I know. So, welcome, Michelle, and tell
Oh,
us,
thank you.
apart from the formal bio, tell us a little bit about your story.
I was one of the ones that didn't know she had a near-death experience until I started healing, and it kind of explained everything. So I found the path of shamanism kind of found me. I was just at a really dark time in my life. Our daughter had just been born, and I started doing therapy, and things just kind of rocked my world. Like, what I didn't know, now I knew. And so what do you do with that? And so I just kept following the next right step that like was put before me. So my therapist was there. She was guiding me. She was a great therapist. I absolutely adore her. But I went into breath work, which is like a journey, a shamanic journey. And I was having profound out-of-body experiences. Like the first time I did it, I was like out and looking down on the room, which I used to astral project as a child. I used to lay in the field and go up in the clouds and then watch me laying there. And I used to go to sleep at night, and I'd honor all the beings in my room, and I told them they needed to leave me alone until I came back. And I remember my bed lifting up and going out the window, and then the next morning I'd wake up, and I didn't tell anybody about it, but I told it to a shaman, sh a shamanic shaman. He's a literal South American Peruvian shaman. And he just sat there with a big smile on his face, and he said, "Oh, you've been doing this a long time." And I kind of went, "Oh, you mean that's normal?" And he was like, "Yes, it's normal." And so through the breath work, I realized that I had had this near-death experience and crossed over. So when I was little, I used to sit in my home with my mom. My mom would be walking around, and I would cry. I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Now that makes no sense. And in a healthy family, my mother probably would have sat down and said, "Well, you are home, honey. What's going on?" But in my family, it wasn't very, my mom was going through a lot of stuff at the time. And she just didn't know how to connect on that level. And so I realized that I had been seeing and knowing things about people for a very long time. I just had kept it to myself. And then when the path of shamanism opened up, I was like, "Wow, this is really cool." It's like finally explain why I was getting and knowing all these different things. And then everything started to line up. And And then you had, you know, it was like breath work, shamanism, astrology all landed in my world at the same time. And it was like my whole life changed at that point. For good. I mean, it wasn't like bad, but I had been this businesswoman with a walking around with a suitcase or, you know, briefcase. And, you know, that was my identity. I didn't know what else to do. I really had no casual clothes. I just had business attire. You know, I was like, okay, I need to sell this company. So I sold the companies. And then I was like, okay, now what am I going to do? And then the healing abilities opened up and I was like, okay, now what do I do with this? Am I supposed to make a business out of it? And I remember sitting with my best friend in therapy going, well, what should I put on the business card? Like healer, you know, healer? And it's just really bizarre because nobody at the time knew what that was about. So.
And so I love that it all came to you at one time because I had a similar experience in, it was about 1989, astrology, shamanic practices through being taken to sweat lodges, like real proper sweat lodges. Mm-hmm. And all of these things came flooding into my life. But you followed all this path. You began to follow it immediately. I didn't. I went back. I moved back to England at that time and kind of, I followed the astrology, but that was kind of more scientific and more kind of like acceptable kind of
thing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, people go to the path where, you know, it'll be accepted. I was like, I was kind of the opposite because I was raised, you don't look at cards. You know, I come from a very conservative background. You know, the first time I went into a New Age store, I thought my grandmother's spirit was going to swoop down and, you know, carry me out of the store because in her house, you couldn't look at cards, you couldn't go to the movies, you couldn't dance, you couldn't drink, you couldn't smoke. It was like really, really conservative. And my mom had pushed off against that. And I really thank my mom in that aspect because she was like, church doesn't do it for me any longer. And I remember the choice she made to say, I'm not doing this. And so when the path opened up, I was like, well, if they told me this way, I'm going this way. And was like, I went, okay, this is what I need. And, you know, for me, one of my other therapist friends said for the first 3 years, I made absolutely no sense because I was integrating. She says I was babbling all the time. And I was like, what? I thought I was making sense. But she was like, oh, no. She goes, you just, you know, she goes, I don't. Now she got healings from me. And I would show up at her breath works and I would do work on people. And I just was like, I thought I was absolutely clear. But before we got on the call, I was remembering back to my dear astrology teacher was head of the astrology community. She'd been teaching for like 35 years and she had these Monday night salons and that's where I used to go to study astrology. And she became president again of the association, the local chapter. And she said, well, I want you to talk about shamanism and astrology. And I don't know what the hell I said, but I got up and I realized that I must have babbled that night because the astrologers in the room were looking at me like, oh, F is she doing standing up there? And why have they given her space? And I just remembered, and I'd go to shamanic events and try to talk astrology. And it was like, no, I just want to be a shaman. And no, I just want to be an astrologer. And I was like walking this dual path. And I was like, I just need to keep quiet. So I just started integrating and I just did it. It was like, I had to do it. You know, that like, you get to a point, you have to do it and they're not letting you go.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's the path I've been on too. I have to bring it all in. I can't just be this straightforward astrologer. And I'll ask you, What do you think working and integrating shamanism and astrology brings to the person, us as healing the world? I have my opinions, but I'll let you
speak. I think everybody needs to know their own astrology. I think that one of the things that happened for me was that I was so hungry to heal that I started integrating astrology at a level that wasn't being taught to me. So I would sit in Brenda's Monday night salons and I would be surfing the energies between the lines of what she was saying. And I would walk out of there feeling like, what are you doing? And the reason I think it's so important is because once I tapped into the cycles, it's a shamanic experience anyway. Looking at a chart, an astrologer goes into this experience and there's this other level present. And when you don't acknowledge that presence, and I've had people say to me, it's scientific and blunt, like you said, but I'm like, no, it's a spiritual component. And when you leave that sitting on the curb, it says more about you than it says about the astrology itself. I was like sitting in the car with a friend of mine. We'd just come back from hypnosis and learning hypnosis. And she said, well, I'm going to astrology class and you need to come. And I was like, Peggy was doing it. I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I walked in there. I knew nothing about astrology. Aries had just gone into Saturn. It was April 1st, 1996. And Brenda stood up there and started talking about the energy. And I just sat in the audience and like, oh my God. Like, I was like this woman. And then some dude that was this older man, that he took my chart off my desk, looked at me, and it felt like he was looking at my underwear. And I got really irritated with him because I think looking at somebody's chart is a sacred contract. And you know, I watched a lot of people sit every Monday night and they were just staying at the level that was presented and they could have gone to a whole nother place. Now, here we are 30 years later, it's totally different. But at the time it was like, oh, they actually showed me, my guides showed me this three-dimensional, maybe it's more than that, but I saw this thing expand off the chart one day when I was reading for somebody who was a really high order starseed. And this vision came off the chart that to this day, I am just in awe of. And I realized that it was a multidimensional interstellar vehicle for transmutation and transformation. And that there was much more than what I was being led to believe. And that if I really just understood and showed up, that I would get the next piece and the next piece. But if you refuse to show up and you sit there and you get stuck, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. So I kept using all the different information to do my own healing. And so it just catalyzed things like really quickly. And I don't think people who, you know, watching some of the women back then in the class just wanted to be told what to do. And so they were really like, they weren't in their sovereignty. Like they wanted just to be told every week. And I was like, I'm not here for that. I'm just not here for that. I want to be able to teach you how to show up and journey into the chart for your own benefit and understand what that's about. See, you're smiling because you get it. And it scared people. It really at the time scared people. And then I would go to shamanic circles and I'd say, well, you can, you know, I look at somebody's chart and I'd say, blah, 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 blah. And they go, how do you know that? And I'd be like, it's right there. And they're telling me and then they'd go, oh, and then they'd have this like soul retrieval. Like I wasn't even trying to do it. They'd had this spontaneous soul retrieval, and I was like, wow, this is really interesting. So yes, I think astrology is there as a transformative tool that everybody should know at least about the moon cycles, and then their Saturn cycles. If they don't understand their Saturn cycles, and I'm talking about astrologers too.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, I've talked to some really stuck astrologers. I need to get a different opinion. So I went to this community college for this astrology class, and I walked in and the woman started making these declarations about marriage. And I went, I was like, Ludi, you are so stuck in your own divorce. You're projecting it all over the people in this. I never went back. I was like, it was almost like spirit would say, no, this is for you. Yes, this is for you. Oh, we're going to show you a taste of this. Here, go see this woman. That's not how you read a chart. And, at that point I was like, oh, okay. So here I am. So how about you? How do you see it?
Well, I see it the same as you, really. I had pretty much the same experience as you. I mean, I do think astrology kind of is a science, but also you cannot divorce it from the spirit as well. And once I started integrating, kind of just really embodying first my own chart, then clients' charts, it's almost like when I do a reading, the planets are moving off the page to me and telling me these patterns, because I absolutely kind of immerse myself in it. And it's kind of hard to teach somebody to do that, though, I have to say. And you are very good at it, and I like to think I'm getting better at it. I've been asked to create a kind of Astro 101 course, which couldn't bore me more. But then I found my way into it, and I'm like going, oh, I could teach people to really focus on embodying one aspect first and then seeing the whole picture. And I was like, oh, wow. Anyway.
What I used to see is, I think astrology is so complex, and people, I say this, you've heard me say it before, is that they've been an astrologer in a past lifetime and they're trying to grok it all. And you really need to go back to square one. And I think, and this only my looking at it, is that you need to focus on one planetary energy at a time and figure out how it's reacting, is responding in your body, and then track it like a bloodhound. I used to sit there and I have certain wisdom around the transpersonal planets and something, the healing aspects of the transpersonal planets. And it's not written anywhere in any astrology book. Mm-hmm. And I know it's true. And I'm like, well, what do I do with this information? So I just started integrating it into my work with clients. And I was like, I really don't care if you get me or not. I know when a client shows up and we start to work with the energies of this in this way, it starts to track. And go teach it. Go be it. I like the first, I know you got into the whole signs and the not whole signs and, that whole debate that was going on.
Oh, I got it by saying always work. Yeah, like you say. I was like, why are you fighting over this? So I wasn't taking particularly.
But you were like in the dialogues of the So when somebody has a real like hot spot around that, that to me is like a call of healing. Like, can I be in it and not get hooked by it? And so I remember when whole signs came to me, because I was teaching new moon astrology, and my guide said, no, you need to go to the whole sign method. And I went, what? And they said, whole signs. And I said, why? And they were like, whole signs. And I was like, and then they said to me, it takes the wounding out of the chart. And I went, oh, well, you know, okay. So then I ran my whole sign chart and I had a lot of interceptions and whatever. And it was like this computer program in my body just kind of went. Mm. I could feel it energetically aligning to what it ultimately was supposed to be. And I just went, okay, mm. okay, okay, I'll take that. And, you know, I think many of us are getting gifts, insights, and just because it hasn't been written down, maybe you're the one to share it, teach it, like give yourself permission to step away from the rest of the pack and be willing to stand up there and go, this is it.
And the cookbook.
Cookbook, yeah. Oh. Yeah, cookbook interpretations. I mean...
Mm. I'm afraid I'm very like you, Michelle. I've decided I have to speak what I'm kind of getting, you know, whatever's being told to me. And it's kind of funny. I did a video on my YouTube channel, and suddenly when I was at Duran Duran the other night, and it was between bands, and my phone started pinging with alerts, and this person was commenting on this video, comment after comment, going, what are you doing? This is not what that means. And this is not what that means. And I just blocked.
Yeah. You know, when you're so vested in new information or old information, and you're not open to the new information.
Yeah.
The thing I want to say about that is that's why I like the path of shamanism, because my teacher would say, go journey on it. Like, if you're having such a strong reaction, why don't you sit down and go journey on it? But the problem is that most astrologers, and I'm not trying to denigrate any side, but if when you don't know how to journey, you can't go in and find your own truth. So you've gotten book and book and book and book, and those patterns may be valid and real, but as Sandy has always taught us, that we are constantly changing and developing for these particular times in this moment. And if you're stuck in that old paradigm of, you know, like a strong reaction, then there's something being asked of you. And I'm just going to put that out there. Learn how to journey on it and go to your helping allies and say, what's right about this I'm getting and what's not right about it and what's right about me? Because it could be right for you. And it could be right for her. But, you know, geez, I can't even imagine being pinged. I had that happen one time. It was the most, it was bizarre.
I might have. I was just I was not in the mood to have a conversation about it. So I just decided to block.
I posted a meme of the seven sisters, lady and seven sisters. And I said, we're entering a 40-day, 40-night period. Oh, Venus. We're entering a 40-day, 40-night period. And I don't know what else I said. And the thing blew up on Facebook. Uh-huh. I had 3,000 respondents within less than 24 hours. And then people started showing up and arguing with the arguers, and I just sat back, and I'm an introvert, so I was not, I didn't expect this, and I was like, ugh. And the bullies came out, and I was like, what it feels like to go viral. I don't know whether I want to do this.
No,
this is not fun. But I remember sitting there going, and my phone was pinging like crazy, and I couldn't, I just was like, wow, that really touched a lot of people. But, you know, there are some crazy people out there. I went to an event one time where this was back in the 90s. So, you know, the internet wasn't that popular. It was there, but it wasn't like it is today. And it was an ascension meditation. And the woman literally locked us in her house. Like, she locked the front doors. And I remember, like, 10 minutes into the thing, I was like, and there were like 40 people there. And 10 minutes into the thing, and she was talking, and I was like, this isn't truth. I need to get myself out of here. And I went to the door, and she goes, oh, I can't open the door until we're done. I said, you will let me out of this room now. I was going to, like, get out. And she was like, well, you know, we're setting the container. I said, I'm not going through this with you all in this room. This is not where I need to be. Open the door. And with that, a couple other people had gotten the same hits. And that's fine. But I'm not going to take hostages, and I don't want to be a hostage.
Exactly. Like, no, I'm the same. I want people to, you know, it attract people to me. If they want to work with me, they want to work with me. If they don't, they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just for the listeners, Michelle mentioned Sandy. That's Sandra Ingerman, by the way, who I've talked about a lot on this podcast. And anybody wants to explore journey work, she's got a fabulous beginner's book, and I'll put the link in the description. But as you were talking about at the beginning, you know, it's shamanic journey work is not complicated. I think people hear those words sometimes and think it's something really, really complicated, and it has to be done by a shaman. And I love shamans, don't get me wrong. And some things should be perhaps left to shamans, but shamanic journey work is really just available to everybody. And as Michelle mentioned, you can do it in other ways. You know, some people spontaneously journey. I did the first time I went in a sweat lodge. I didn't know what was happening. But like you said, I, you know, kind of left my body, had visions, saw things and things like that, you know. And you can do it through breath work. I think you can do it through things like morning pages, stream of consciousness writing. That's a form of journey work too. It's really all about going into the non-ordinary kind of realms of second attention, kind of something that you can't quite see with this container. Would you agree?
Oh yeah. I think we all journey at some point, whether we name it that or not. You're absolutely right. But what I like is, so let me explain something about the shamanic journey itself. Mm-hmm. It's always good to have a practice to be able to go in and come back, mm-hmm. go in and come back. You need to have a beginning, middle, and end. So if you're going into spontaneous journeying, you need to start to up the game and have the pathway in and the pathway out. That's why I like rattling and drumming, because there is a definite in and out. Mm. The problem is that people get hooked into the woo part of it, which is the glamour of it. Uh-huh. And, you know, and that's when people have problems, or if they're drinking or taking drugs, you can get yourself into trouble. You can get yourself into trouble.
I agree.
I'll leave it at that.
No, I agree completely. And you know, I can see all of those paths that I talked about, having an in and a way out as well. Stream of consciousness writing, you only do 3 pages, then you come back to reality. Things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I've had too many people show up and call me out of the blue and say, I studied with so-and-so and I haven't been the same since. And most of the times they're so out of body, they can't even ground and they can't even make sense of what they're trying to ask. Mm-hmm. And then they want me right away, or they used to. It hasn't been so much because I took my name off of Sandy's site. So I was a trained shamanic teacher through her. I still am. But I don't work one-on-one in that way anymore, because my work is more with business women and women leaders who want to get their work out in the world. Mm. But I used to get these really strange phone calls of people who had given their power over to a teacher, just looking for an apprentice, wanting to be an apprentice, and then asking me if I would let them apprentice with me. They didn't even know me from Adam. Who, you know, they don't even know whether I'm healthy or, you know, they're calling me on the phone. And I'm like, no, I don't think I'm the one to work with you. Mm-hmm. I bless you on your feet, your way, but this is not the way it's supposed to be. So that's what I meant in terms of, you know, beginning, middle, and end. It's just, you need a beginning, middle, and end.
You do. And you need a way to ground and come back to your body and
because the times I was babbling were not times I was very well grounded. I was like, blah, blah, blah. I probably sound like one of those people, blah, blah, blah. Things are going on, I don't know what I mean.
I think ultimately, having worked with Michelle over a long time, and in fact Michelle runs these wonderful initiate retreats that you can find on her website. We've just had one, which I couldn't attend live, so I'm going to be listening to the recording. And really all that's about going into your imagination too, but then grounding it in our humanity. And it's something I talk about an awful lot with my clients, my podcasts, my members, everything as well. It's all about embodying our humanity and bringing it descending down onto earth. And connecting with that spirit here, not about floating off somewhere.
There's a lot of people that want to float away. I'm like, you're too Pisces right now. Come back.
Can I tell you how much I've grown to like cringe every time I hear about ascension all the time?
In the 90s, I copied all these, like, I must have copied. I had like a thick, like every piece, and it said the end times were coming and that we're going to die tomorrow because the earth changes were coming. Now there may be earth changes, but you know, people were making a lot of money off selling doom and gloom. And I had like this stack of pages, and I just kind of looked at it and went, after about 2000, I went, you know, Michelle, you're okay. This is heaven. It could be heaven if we just like be okay. It's really nice here. If you look around, it's really, really beautiful. And so I just kind of at that point, because one of the things about working a shamanic path is that you end up confronting your own death and dying process.
Yeah.
And you know, how comfortable are you with your own death and dying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was fit for me. And isn't it ironic that I had a near-death experience and went over, and I was like.
I personally haven't had one, but I have done death doula work with my neighbor and helped somebody to have a good death. And she went from being a complete atheist to kind of, you know, meeting her father on the other side and him waiting. Mm-hmm. And just believing there was just something else afterwards and being comfortable with that whole thing. Her family were like, what have you done to her? I was like, I didn't do anything.
It's amazing what happens at that time. It's like, you know, I lost a dear friend, my best friend, to cancer. And she was a shamanic teacher, practitioner, and she had her whole family around her. She left medicine to become a shamanic teacher. She was an OBGYN. And the last week of her life, she was totally in that space of betwixt and between. But what she was doing is she was leaving breadcrumbs for her sisters who had been severely abused. And the presencing that she brought to her own death was an awakening for her own sisters. And, you know, it's so beautiful. It's like, oh, come on, people. Like, just come on.
Well, we're all going to die.
What a gift. What a gift you gave her. What a gift you gave your friend.
So let's kind of fast forward to where you're at today and you know, what the focus of your work is. I mentioned the initiate retreats, but I know you've just, mm-hmm. You've just released some meditations. Tell us all about those.
So there's a rise and shine meditation that I have on site. And so what I realized is for the last 30 years, more than that, I was always called in when there were, how do I want to put this? I know there's dark forces and I work with the dark. I don't work with the dark. I remove the dark. And so the rise and shine meditations are there for people as a tool for when they've lost their power and they don't know what's going on and how they've left it someplace and how they can restore it. So in 2010, I invested in a high-end coaching program, and there were probably 100 of us in that community. And I watched the coach. Yeah, it was where we met. And I watched the community just kind of collapse on it. I was watching the coach. You know, I'm always there. Seems like when something programs collapsing, I was there at a major healing school and watched it was in the collapse. I was there at my own. I'm always there at the collapse. I'm like watching stuff and watching this and watching that. And so anyway, my work with clients has been for the last 30 years is soul retrieval. Mm-hmm. And so I was watching all of us get disempowered by this experience. And it was just the marketing experience that affected money stories, affected work out in the world, it affected their ability to create again. And so I would usually be called, I've worked with people who have left a spiritual community and then can't get traction in their work because, you know, one woman left the TM community years ago. She was actually a nun in the community, and she came to work with me, and I found out that the whole community prayed for her at her when she left. I was like, oh my, we have such power and we don't know when we're doing it in an abusive way because we think we're supposed to do it in a certain way. So anyway, my work is, where did you lose power and where did you leave it with somebody else, and who cursed you, and how is that curse still operating? And so what I started to understand, so I really love curse breaking. I just really adore it. It's part of my path. The helping allies told me soul retrieval, death, dying, and curse breaking, depossession and curse breaking. So I've very quietly been working one-on-one with clients. And what happened is that the same thing was happening again and again. They would be disempowered by working with a high-end coach or mentor, and then they couldn't get traction after they left. And nothing, fries my ass than somebody disempowering somebody. Now, it's a co-creative process.
Oh, yeah.
But when you leave, you need to leave with 100% of yourself and not leave any of that energy there. And at the same time, the coach has an obligation, or the mentor has an obligation, to give back whatever needs to be given back. And so you go in and out of these coaching relationships and you don't realize that there's no closing ceremony or no closing ritual. And so the person goes to the next coach and tries to get fed. They go to the next coach or mentor, they're trying to get fed.
I've been there.
And by the time you get to a certain point, you're like, what? I've done all this. Why is it getting any traction? So I developed the Rise and Shine meditations because it was part of the work I was doing with clients on one-on-one. And basically, it's a process where we activate who you truly are, and then we move into the curse breaking process of it. And it's not really kind of fun. I mean, people are amazed when they do it and they're like, well, I didn't know that was there. And I'm like, yeah. And so I think all of us need to call back our power, you know, wherever we left it, because it's not going to do any good to the coach that you've been working with. They may think it's beneficial, but you know, I've watched, I've had clients call me and say, you know, I was leading a mastermind group and one person went toxic in the mastermind group. And then they took everybody else hostage. And so now they're criticizing me. They're slandering me. I mean, that's another example of it from the mentor coaching perspective. And so I was like, this really just needs to be out. And so I put it out. And it's fun. It's not like, you know, oh my God, she's going to do like oogly booglies on me. No, it's just serious. It's just simply a meditation where you call back your power. And it's fun. You know, maybe that's my thing. I didn't try. It really scared me at first when I had this gift, talent, capacity showed up. It's probably one of the things I sat with the longest. One Jupiter cycle. you know, I had to integrate. I've been in events where let's just leave it at that. It's time. So that's why I put it out.
But this kind of goes back to the point though about what shamanic journey work and really it's using your creative imagination. You can use your creative imagination. I think you used that expression because I did read again through the meditations and the before we started. But it's about how can this look differently? How can I create differently? Which has been a big focus of mine. We use different techniques and different approaches, but it all comes back to the central thing to my mind from what I'm hearing you say, you know, really kind of embodying your astrology for a start, getting to know yourself at a deep level. And I loved what you said about the whole signs taking the wounding out of the chart. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Like, you know, my Saturn's at 2 degrees of Sagittarius in the first house. And the first time my astrology teacher sat with me, now this is after about 4 years of therapy. And she sat down. She didn't know me. She just sat there and she goes, nobody parented you.
Mm.
And I just was like, you can see that in the chart? She goes, yeah, nobody who parented you. Of course, my father's energy and my mother's energy were both intercepted. And I was like, I don't think they even knew what to do with me now. But, you know, I was just like, yes, like this person saw into me, saw what it was about, acknowledged it. And yeah, you know, you can use your creative imagination. Spirit is going to show up in whatever way you are able to take it in. Now, will you have these extremes, you know, like out of body experiences, blah, 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 blah?
Yeah.
Probably not. Yeah. Unless you've had some, you know, one of the things I will say is most shamanic practitioners have had some sort of abuse. That's why we're really gifted at going out of body, is because we were spent a long time going out of body.
And the abuse show up in different ways. You know, speaking of one who was Saturn in Capricorn in the first house, it was just kind of lack of love and nurturing and attention. You know, it was withdrawal. It wasn't actually kind of like, you know, sexual abuse or anything. So we've all got some kind of,
yeah, everybody's got their abuse. It's like, tell me what yours is. Yeah, everybody has it, and it comes in varying degrees. But I will say this, those of us who have intense PTSD, you haven't looked at this aspect of it, there may be out-of-body experiences that you weren't aware of that shamanism or breath work may reactivate, so you can heal what needs to be healed, so you can go to that next place. And with that, you need to be with a trusted mentor who can hold the container for you, because I used to, when I was in therapy, I used to be on the phone. I always tell people when you have a conversation with me, there's a reason you're showing up and there's a reason why you're being asked to go to the next place. Now, I'm not going to push you or lead you someplace. Your soul's not ready to go. But I remember early on being on the phone with like a collaborating experience with another person in my therapy group and just talking about my own path. Mm-hmm. And she started remembering. Turns out she had multiple personality disorder. This woman said, I can go up to an oven and take out the pan and it won't even bother my hands. And I was like,
no.
Well, because that part of her leaves and this other part comes in.
Yeah.
And her body is not there. And I just was like really paying attention at that point. Like, we are much bigger than what we think we are. Like, there's so interdimensional energies.
Definitely.
And I think that's a lot of what reason why astrologers love it is because you can tap into that interdimensional surfing. You know, there's a surfing energy there. And it's really fun.
It is fun.
Now I think it's fun, but you know, it's like how much can you say yes to? I read Shonda Rhimes' book A Year of Saying Yes, and I was like, I'll say yes to that. Like where am I saying no? Like if you're hearing us talk, you know, it's not a coincidence that you're listening to this conversation today. And the thing of it is, it's not about glamorizing any of the energies or making something really super special. If you find a mentor that feels like they're really special because they've arrived and you're now sitting in the audience, you really need to like check in and check out why that's happening.
Yeah.
Like they're stuck in ego somewhere.
Which is why I work with Michelle on and off over the years. I just come and go into the community as I feel I need another dose of it kind of thing. But there's no kind of like, you have to stay, you have to do this. Or
no, I'm so like, I'm so like, don't attach to me. Like, I'll teach you how to do this. Yeah, and I honor that. I honor, you know, that you know, I remember back when you were like stuck and you were like, this isn't working for me. I'm like, no, it's not. Okay. Who was it working for, to be honest?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not having fun. And, you know, my sister used to say, are we having fun yet? And I'm like, no.
But I think all of Michelle's work and my work too, I think, really is about kind of living the person you were born to be and kind of, yes, having some evolutionary personal growth, but not thinking that you're attaining to be something you're not. That's really the essence of it. I'm really about embodying your astrology chart fully. Mm-hmm. And getting to know embracing the challenges, embracing the easier parts. You know, it's all of you, and it's reaching this point of deep acceptance, so that you are fully embodied on this planet in this human suit. And like Michelle said, you can look around and go, "Hey, you know, well, this is it, and I may as well enjoy it and see the beauty in the world." And
And don't use your chart as an excuse. How many times my Mars is in that? I'm like, oh please, just stop.
I know. I've got a so-called Mercury in detriment. You know, that's the old language. I love my Mercury. You know,
yeah.
Mercury Aquarius. I'm a truth seller.
yeah. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, maybe it's maybe it's a little different. Maybe there's, you know, something else there that you could, like, another story you could tell. It's so multidimensional, and it's so creative. And how can you recreate again? Like, the thing of it is if you're stuck money-wise, if you're stuck in the story, if you're stuck not getting support, you need to ask when it got stuck and then go back and scroll back to that time and see if you left anything. And that's why I think the meditations are really good, because they kind of like pull that energy up and out and say, okay, let's look at this experience again and make a different choice. Because what I was witnessing is too many people beat themselves up because they made a choice and it didn't work out. And it's just a choice. That's all it is. When I look back and I realize that I have coached or mentored all the spiritual people that were in that community, that I left the coaches community.
Oh, have
everyone who was in that community, who was like walking the edge of, is this practical or is this the mystical? All the mystics that were in that class have all pretty much coached with me.
Nice.
Every one of them. Yeah. And the thing of it is, what was lacking is there was no validation for their spiritual path and how it integrated back into their business. And so that particular coach kept trying to get them to go down this path, and that path was not the path that they were supposed to be on. So then they make themselves wrong for going down that path when originally they didn't have very much choice at the time, because they had hired this person, they paid her good money. And then they're like, well, I paid all this money, this is what I'm, you know, this is where I should be. And I'm like, no. Scroll back. Let's go back. What do you really want to do and what lights you up?
Right.
Yeah. I remember when you said astrology and you said, I'm not doing this anymore. I was like, yes.
I know. That was really one of those moments. I had kind of one of those coaches at that time, a different one to you. And I announced it on a call, and she was like, you've never mentioned astrology. So I took my laptop and I showed her all my astrology books on the shelf.
Now, the thing of it, you know, I went to a VIP day, and I, at the time, I had all my mentoring was done through the new moon. And she put a content creation map up and spent 2 hours on it. And then I said to her, what about my new moon work? And she goes, she knew nothing about it. And she didn't even want to know about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't going to work for me.
Yeah.
And then a month later, she insisted we all had to show up at this event. She insisted, and I had like a good doobie.
Yeah.
I was like, everything in my body said, no, don't do this. Don't do it. And I did it because I was paying her, and I went, and it was the worst experience of my life. I watched this teacher walking around, this big name teacher walking around. And I was like, he is so possessed. He's not looking at us. He's not talking directly to us. There's something off. And I came out of the experience and I just started shaking like this, like full body shaking. And when I got home, I called my shamanic friend and I said, I need healing fast, because there's something I'm shaking off. I needed to see the experience. I needed to have the experience. But I was certainly there in the wrong place at the wrong time that I made a choice to do, because I thought I needed to do it in order to fit in. And it was horrible, just horrible.
I had a similar experience to you with that same coach who I showed my astrology books to. Shortly after that time, there was an event where we were all supposed to go to. So I did. And I took a friend for free. Thank God I took this friend. And it was a similar kind of vibe to what you experienced. And, you know, I got so sick. on the third day, I had to go to bed. I was sick, and there was nothing really wrong with me, but I felt sick as a dog. And my friend had to drive us home from the event, and while I had the seat laid flat in the car and lay there being really ill. So yeah, this literally, if you're not following what lights you up and what you want to do, it can literally make you sick.
It will make you sick. It will literally make you sick, because the different parts of the body will start to react and respond. And it goes into your nervous system. And that's really the part that I want, that these meditations clear out, is the central nervous system, because it taps that central nervous system, is the ability to move things forward. Yeah. And if you're quaking and shaking, or if you lost your the ability to communicate, and you haven't had a clear yes or a clear no, fucks you up. Sorry, but it fucks you up. And it's like, wow, like I didn't even know what was happening. And to this day, the stories I hear are heart-wrenching. Like, you know, there's a lot of money that is being put here and there. And I don't want those breadcrumbs as a pathway. I don't want to have those experiences at the end of my life where I've taken and taken and taken from somebody because I need to fill my own coffers. Mm-mm. No, I'm not doing that.
And anybody who tells you they have one way to do something as well, that's a... No, Michelle and I both believe on you find your own way, but we can help support you and hold the container and guide you.
Come on. And that's the other thing. If you feel pushed on when you're going to sign up for something, I always tell clients, I may not be the teacher, and that's fine. I may have inspired you in some way. But here's the ask. Go outside and ask if this is going to create more in your life. And your no may be a reaction. You never know. It may be that you're trying to get to a yes, but this other energy or entity that from prior experiences is still activated. I had a dear client friend say to me, you know, there's a big event coming up and I don't want to go to the big, my old body's reacting and responding. And I said, yeah, but you're not the same person you were the last time this happened. You are totally different now. And that part of you that has sovereignty can say yes. And you know what you are, and you're grounded in that knowing. So please don't say no to something just because of a prior experience. And she came back and she goes, you're absolutely right. I'm ready to go do this. And I was like, yeah, I'm your number one cheerleader. I'm over here going, yeah. It's just, you know, it's just interesting to live right now.
And you know, on a kind of meta perspective, you know, what Michelle and I are doing and how we work, and Michelle's been doing it longer than me. This, to my mind, is where we're moving. This is the new paradigm. It's more integrated. It's more aligned. It's not having this steps kind of pattern, to linear kind of giving you the answers. Astrology is moving that way. Healing is moving this way. It's and a lot of it is about embodying it within yourself. And you know, people just need some help, guidance about how to embody it within themselves. That's all.
It's not complicated. The more complicated you make it, you'll know you're making it complicated when your creativity shuts down. Yeah. And you can't seem to find your joy. If you're not creating and you're not in your joy, then there's some stuff that probably is, you know, sit with it for a while. Just ask, where'd my joy go? When's the last time I was really happy? And track it back and see who's standing there, you know. I always tell clients, what part of you did you leave sitting on the corner in order to have this relationship? Mm-hmm. Be it business, personal, you know, if you're going into a marriage or a boyfriend relationship, girlfriend relationship, if you went into that relationship and you left a major part of yourself sitting on the corner, then, you know, that's not really you being you. That's you being the glorified, whatever they wanted you to be or what you thought they wanted you to be. And that's going to trip you up big time.
Oh, big time. Big time. I am here to say, though, that even if you do that when you enter a marriage, you can find yourself in the marriage and still stay married. Not everybody has to. It doesn't.
No, and you don't have to leave, because that's the other thing I say is you can change the name of the husband or the wife, but if you've got anything going on, you will recreate in that next person the same issues that you had in the first one. Exactly. I've been married, I'm going on 45 years this year. My husband has gone through all alliterations of me. I was a business. He fell in love with the businesswoman, interior designer, who went really woo.
I know.
And I'm like,
26 years here, but I remember one time my husband going, I don't know if I know you anymore. But he stuck around to find out the new me too. And he still I think he likes it more, actually. So.
I was really quiet about everything. When it first started unfolding, I didn't tell anybody, and not even him. And I remember going to the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, and I had actually seen like the graphics that they came together, and I was amazed in the movie. They just spoke to me. And I came home from that movie, and the neighbors across the street started asking me questions, and I started answering them based on the movie. And my husband just sat there like, what are you? And I just went, and he just went. And the only thing he said to me was, I don't want strange people in the house. I was like, okay. And then probably a year later, I started having drumming circles in the house. And he was like, it's like, oh well, Michelle's doing her thing, and now he's like all sorts. He goes, you should have had a 900 number, 1-900 healer. I was like, he kept trying to make me into a different business. Like, you should have this, you should have that. I'm like, no, honey, I'm fine doing this.
Good, thank you.
But yeah, and you don't necessarily have to walk away from the existing relationship you're in. Sometimes I just need to say that, because a lot of times people got the message that as you changed, your relationship was going to change and your significant other would not come along. And I saw too many divorces happen when they could have, if they had just been kind and not blamed the other person, things would have worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Things would have worked out. So I just need to say that.
And sometimes it does reveal that, you know, there's not much left in the marriage.
Not much.
And that's fine too, but.
Yeah, call Louise and see if it's in the chart at the time. You're not supposed to be with this person. It's done.
I would never say that, to be honest. I would never tell somebody that. They have to find that out for them.
I know. Yeah. But like, you can see it in the chart. Yeah, it's like. I mean, I had somebody say, tell my bestie, she said, well, you shouldn't even have lived. Like, you're supposed to be dead. Mm-hmm. And I was like, healers can be really arrogant. I said, how dare she tell you that? And she goes, I just told her. She goes, she had no right to say it.
Really?
Listen, if somebody's making blanket statements like that, you know, but trust your gut, trust your own knowing.
Yeah, do, please. So before we wrap up, because I could talk mm-hmm. to Michelle forever, but I have a client this afternoon too, but the meditations, where can people find these Rise and Shine meditations to, I can highly recommend them. So
thank you. You can go to bit.ly/rs-member-vault. That's rs-member-vault, membervault. You can see them there. There's some other courses there that you may want to look at.
And I'll put the link in the show notes too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Find
it,
them.
It, and, yeah. And I just, you know, I think it's a first stepping point. And you'll know when you listen to this, if it's really lighting you up somehow and it's a yes, then yes. But if you're not sure, then go walk your land, dream on it. You know, you'll know right away.
You will. Yeah.
I trust you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Michelle. It's been a great pleasure, of course. I knew it would be. So. Bye, everybody.
Bye.